This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We are now joined by our last, but certainly not our least guest, Arlie Lieberman, who has come through to talk about the new track he's worked on with Rian Sheehan called Imaru. Morena to you, Arlie, how are you doing?
Morena, thank you for having me. How's it going?
It's going real swimmingly. I noticed with your name, I tend to roll my R's for some reason, which is quite interesting.
That's cool. I'll take that rolling R.
I'm glad. I don't usually do it. I don't do it for a lot of people. So you're very lucky in that regard. But
I'm honored. I'm honoured for your rolling R.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I hear that you're in Auckland and that a storm is kind of settling in. How's Auckland been treating you the past few years?
Well, it's been treating amazingly. Well, Auckland and New Zealand in general. I think we're very lucky here in this corner of the world. Just in many, many aspects, it's an incredibly special place, I found.
Yeah, it is a pretty chill place. It's isolated from a lot of the world, which is a blessing and a curse in a lot of ways, because, you know, it takes ages to get anywhere, but we're also not having to worry about, a lot of things that a lot of other people in the world are worrying about. So, yeah, a blessing and a curse, I'd say.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's worth the long trip here, for sure.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. No, this new track, is it Imaru? Imaru? How do you pronounce it?
Imaru.
Imaru. Cool. So yeah. When I close my eyes and I listen to Imaru, I picture being in a, you know, a submersible, kind of roaming around a dark ocean on an alien planet and making all sorts of friends with the marine life there. What do you imagine when you listen to a song like this?
First of all, that is awesome description, and I think it's quite probably a similar space to what you described there. Quite an aquatic kind of feeling, but then there's a launch into the next space there, yeah, towards the end, for sure.
Yeah. Like I'm very curious to see where this lands in the album, because it does start off, you know, very, very quiet, and then it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds and then it cuts off. And I just want to hear the rest of the goddamn album. But yeah, you're right. Like, it does get more intense. Maybe towards the end of the journey, there's a big Leviathan creature comes out of nowhere or something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, working with Rian, it's, you know, it's been kind of a long time kind of inspiration for me. He's one of my favorite musicians in Aotearoa, mm-hmm, and an incredible human being, an amazing composer. And I remember listening to his stuff for the first time quite a long time ago. I'm going like, oh, wow, this is sounds so otherworldly. He's got this otherworldly taste, which I like also, dabbing with that world. And when we met for the first time, it was an exhibition where he did the music for Joseph Michael, a visual artist, which is a mutual friend of ours. And I said to him, like, you know, really kind of without trying to get out of anything out of it, hey, we should work together one day. And he's like, yeah, sure, of course. You know, like, you know, it's happened many times and usually nothing comes out of it. But then
classic.
We kept at it, and I end up playing some guitars on his last album. And we always kind of knew that we wanted to create something. And I think that we both, you know, we both are screen composers. And, you know, when you do those crazy long projects for like films and or TV series or anything in those kind of magnitudes, you end up, you know, pouring everything and so much output, and it's always about serving a story, and that you are just a cog in a bigger machine. Mm-hmm. And we both always kind of wanted to make music that we're still using and utilizing those musical vocabularies of creating worlds that would make you imagine stuff and have your own narrative goes through it, but that it's belonged to us. and and every track we had like different intentions and different you know, our own sonic world building that we trying to attempt. And I can't tell you how much fun we had creating this, because it was about really expressing our own emotion and our own interpretations of those worlds that we're trying to create, as opposed to a very narrow focused story, which we love equally. But that was an amazing process and incredibly quick as well.
Yeah, I want to touch on that real quick. It was the whole album Traces was recorded in an 8-day period, which to me has kind of a biblical Genesis kind of vibe about it. You know, on what day did you let there be Imaru?
What day? That's a good question. you know, I want to say day 3 or 4. It was an 8-day process, which was split to two big sessions of just kind of conceiving all those ideas. And part of the kind of restrictions that we wanted to give ourselves was to use all the instruments and all the synths and guitars and everything that we created from scratch, as opposed to use any samples or anything that was existed somewhere else. So all the source material was 100% belonged to the process, to the project. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that was a big gamble, and that could have been a much longer process. But then it was it just happened to have an enormous amount of inspiration, and we went down to Rian's studios down in Wellington, which is a very, very playful place full of a lot of great toys. Uh-huh. And that was it. Happened to have got really lucky with the inspiration side of things.
That's awesome. I mean, it just sounds like a kind of a flash in the pan, lightning in a bottle kind of situation, really.
Completely. And again, you know, we were been talking a lot about what we're trying to make. So it was a lot of kind of pre-production discussions of what are the values and what are the areas we're going to try to explore. And I think it was complete freedom of trying to create something that is an abstract, you know, canvases or worlds that sort of lead to one another, as opposed to trying to find like a formula that needs to fit to any mainstream or any radio shapes, if you know what I mean. So yes, it was just complete freedom. So that's where it just poured out of us.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I want to touch on you saying that these worlds lead to another. So this is quite like a concept album. There's going to be a lot of transitions into kind of seamless transitions between the tracks.
Well, we had to, because we do, the only one thing that we are have to surrender is that we do live in an era where some, you know, the algorithms in the digital world, they do choosing one single tracks here and there, so they working as a standalone completely, and so there is no like full cross fades between track to track, but we definitely carefully meticulously put them next to each other. So it would be, if you were going in a vessel or vehicle to your own imagination, that would definitely go from one another in the way that we both felt correct between each of those worlds. Mm-hmm. Some of them are propelled through, some of them is a launch, some of it is we're more of a observers, and yeah, we felt very, very lucky and very happy to create those.
Fantastic. Now, I love your guitar work on the track. It made me realize that there's more use for post-rock guitar in sort of ambient or soundscape work. And I just want to give a big shout-out to Mogwai for perfecting post-rock guitar. Was meshing the guitar...
Yeah,
sure. Oh, what, sorry?
No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, oh, Mogwai, fantastic. Hey? Was meshing the guitar with everything else ever challenging, or did it always feel like it was a seamless, easy matchup?
You know, it's a very good question because I guess the danger that those thick guitar walls presenting is a big clog on the mid-range frequency spectrum. So once you start, you know, stack them all up, and both Rian and I played electric guitars on that as well.
All right.
We played everything from everything, and so it was you know, we had to constantly be very aware of, you know, attempting a super large, wide sound, but still leaving space in the middle for all the sub melodies that kind of floating around. And I guess all the textures, and this album, you know, really belongs into this immersive world. So we mixed it in Dolby Atmos as well at Roundhead, and that's when we both went like, yeah, you definitely, if you are able to experience it in Atmos, that is definitely, that's when you can hear all the dimensions and all the subtle intentions that we have. And I genuinely feel like this is the future of music. You know, however it's going to be 5, 10 years, everybody going to be experiencing music and entertainment in full surround.
For sure. How do you get your hand, like, is Dolby Atmos a speaker system? Is that what it is?
So Dolby Atmos is essentially, yeah, I mean, it's a speaker system, and now you can also hear it in the headphones.
Oh, okay.
And instead of the sound come out of left and right stereo, it comes out of multiple channels. So it'll come in front of you, above you, behind you. So you can, everything, all of a sudden you kind of in this beautiful sonic sphere, and we really managed to, because the nature of the music and the way we layered it is just fitted like a glove, uh-huh, as opposed to more traditional band music. It's a little bit more challenging to get adventurous with that, because unless you if you're sitting in the middle of a rehearsal room, you need to find a sweet spot to feel that's amazing sound. But usually there's the relationship between a band and an audience where we always hearing them in front of us, unless you like listening to music with your back, I suppose. But in this world, because again we're coming from the cinema world, it was just inevitable for us to translate it into a surround, into the Dolby Atmos environment. And again, we sat there and we were just extremely grateful for that scenario. You know, it's mm-hmm. very rare.
I want to, you've touched on how you can listen to it with Dolby Atmos and how that improves the quality and how you've recorded it with that. I want to touch on, I guess, the live performance aspect. You know, could you play this kind of music live? Would that even be possible? Because there are so many moving parts, so many subtle textures. You'd need a pretty big setup, I imagine.
It's a conundrum that me and Riam definitely working to solve. There is definitely ways, there's always ways, because eventually we both kind of tried to audition pretty much all of those tracks and made sure that, of course, you know, if imagine we go into a show when we sussed all the technical situations out and the power goes off, we need to be able to jump on an acoustic guitar and piano and still convey those emotional paths and worlds that we trying to say. Mm-hmm. So we not depend on all the external and all those amazing textures and sounds and world building, we'll still be able to pare it down. So the answer is yes. It's just, we're gonna have to add musicians potentially and find a way to loop ourselves and just to stick things up in a certain way that it's, again, it's always going to be about the experience and about the what we're trying to say rather than how we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned film scores a few times, and, you know, you had a pretty big year with film scores last year. You did the score for Ka Whaiwhai Tonu and The Mountain. Mm. Are you working on any other movie scores this year that you can talk about?
Yes. This year, I'm actually working on TV. It's a show called The Ridge. It's a co-production between New Zealand and Scotland.
Wow.
I'm going to go to BBC Scotland, and guy here, I believe, is with Great Southern TV. Really chuffed about that. And and obviously the work with this album Traces with Rian definitely occupies a lot of my mind, of really trying to push as hard as we can to do something a little bit different. I can't give you any official details, but we have been a very special and unique way to present it to the public when it's out in July.
Oh, it's going to be out in July, so not too far. 3 months. 3 months.
It's not too far. It's not too far. There's another single coming in June, and then in July, in mid-July, I'm going to be releasing the entire album, which obviously comes in vinyl and the full Atmos experience. And I would also love to touch about another dimension that's, again, the universe has been very kind with us, and it's the visual aspect of it.
Yes. Oh, my God. I saw the visualizer for this thing on your Instagram. It is just a gorgeous, I don't know. You can speak to it more than I can. You can go crazy.
Well, so basically everything that you will see connected to this album, it's made by this liquid art.
Yes.
And it's all made by an incredible artist called Sam Codwell, where I met in this party completely randomly. I think it was a Willy Wonka party, so it was a strange party, but awesome. And he was just sitting there by himself, and I was just like, "Hey, dude, well, how are you? Who are you? What do you do?" And he straight away said, like, "Oh, I'm a liquid artist." And I'm like, "What is that?" And he starts showing me all those crazy things that he does. So he takes this aquarium of water and he adds all this ink and salt and minerals and a bunch of other components, and he shoots it from the side and above. So everything you see, it's completely organic. It's just shot in HD, and then we put it together to kind of fit the music. But again, it just gives this project another dimension, of another aesthetic, that it's goes in line with the approach of using technology but still trying to find being dominant by a human touch.
Yes.
It's not, nothing of it is generated by the digital world. So we were just so felt so lucky to find Sam. And in fact, you know, it's always working really funny, because we had like a tour booked for, I think it was 2021, and that's when Sam was supposed to do all the visuals live, you know, having like an aquarium there on stage and like shooting it, and then we're projecting it big. And then obviously COVID just kept postponing those shows, but in hindsight, that's allow us to kind of sit and kind of percolate on how can we create this music and take it even further, because those tunes weren't really exist then. It was just, you know, playing Rian's and myself's compositions and our own kind of catalog, playing each other's music. So, you know, there's always a silver lining, but that was the beginning of the collab between Sam and us.
So cool. The way I describe what it looks like is how film, when it's being projected, looks like when it's being burnt up and kind of spoiled, and it starts to get real weird and kind of like, it's like you're looking under a microscope almost. It's so cool. It's so awesome.
It really does, eh? It really feels like it's you having like a Microsoft.
Microsoft. It's like looking at Microsoft Word.
No shout out. You know, to it's like another planet, another world, and I cannot wait for you to see all the other visualizers, because some of them are much. They're all very different to each other. Some of them are more smoky, and there's one that goes from the side of the aquarium or above of the aquarium. They all feel incredibly different, and we just felt super, super grateful to have this work of Sam over our music.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll leave that there. I want to thank you for coming on the program, Arlie. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I can't wait to listen to Traces when it comes out in July. Is there any final word you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, Auckland, be safe out there in the weather, and I think this song, Imaru, will be a perfect soundtrack for this coming storm.
Hell yes. Awesome. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on the program, Arlie. Ma te wa.
Awesome. Thank you, brother. All right. Ka kite.
All right, folks. That was Arlie Lieberman. We're talking about the upcoming album Traces. He's done with Rian Sheehan, as well as their first single, Imaru, which we're going to play for you right now. And I think that's going to be the end of the program. So thank you all for listening. Here's our last track of the day, Rian Sheehan and Arlie Lieberman's new song, Imaru. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.